I invite you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me back to Lamentations 3. We are beginning a new year in 2025, and I want to encourage and edify you with the truth of God's faithfulness that will give us hope in Him for the year ahead. 2024 has been somewhat a difficult year for some, certainly a lot of chaos in the world, and 2025 doesn't look to be that much better, especially if Canada becomes the 51st state of the United States. just thinking through all of that. So we need to know and understand that God is faithful. That will help us. Look with me in chapter 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I, what? Hope in Him. Great is thy faithfulness, therefore I will hope in Him. And this is a profound statement, and I think one that will serve us well for the coming year. It's very interesting that these verses in particular should appear in the book of Lamentations. The book of Lamentations is the prophet Jeremiah's poetic lament over the wickedness of his people, the wickedness of Judah, and the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the judgment of God against the evil and wickedness of his people there, and executed by the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, in Jeremiah's very day. He lived during that time of the assault on his beloved city and the destruction of the temple. And so Lamentations is his poetic lament of that particular incident and experience. We read a little bit earlier from verse 1 of chapter 3. And I remind you of the dirge and the afflictions of the prophet that he himself felt, but which also parallels the experience of God's people then in Judah. Just a reminder, chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. So the affliction and the troubles that he's experiencing is common to all of the southern kingdom of Judah and the people of Jerusalem, and it comes from the rod of God's wrath because they have broken his covenant, because they have served other gods, because they have basically left the Lord and forgotten all about him. God has brought his divine judgment upon them. Verse 2, he hath led me, brought me into darkness, but not into light. Surely against me as he turned his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones, builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places as they that be dead of old. Can you hear his discouragement and his broken heart at all that God is doing because of the sin of the people? Verse 6, he set me in dark places, as they that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about, that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. And when I cry and shout, he shutteth out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in wait, and as a lion in secret places. Violence and destruction just kind of seem always to be around, hiding and lurking. And you know what happens when you think that there's some predators ahead? You're cautious, you're leery about moving forward. Verse 11, he hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He hath made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He has caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood, broken my teeth with gravel stones. He has covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity, and I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. That's the state that the prophet was in, which also would reflect the discouragement and the despair of the people in Jerusalem and Judah at this particular time. It was a terrible time for Jeremiah as he realized that the city was going to be destroyed, the temple was going to be destroyed, block torn from block, and you can feel his discouragement and desolation here in these verses. Now, Lamentations, just a couple of technical notes. Lamentations is an acrostic poem. You'll notice that in chapter 1, 2, 4, and 5, there are 22 verses in each of the chapters, while chapter 3 is 66 verses long, or 3 times 22. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters. And so each verse in each chapter begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet. That's what makes it an acrostic. And so each chapter, other than 3, would begin with the letter Aleph, and then the second one would be Beth, and then Gimel, and so on, down through the 22 letters of the alphabet. When you get to chapter 3, because there are 66 verses, the acrostic is still in place. In chapter 3, he does the successive letters of the alphabet in groups of 3. So, for example, verse 1, 2, and 3 all begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And then 4, 5, and 6 are all the Hebrew letter Beth, and so on. So it's grouped into 3s in chapter 3. Acrostics are intended to communicate fullness, completion, and therefore perfection of thought and subject. It's the complete alphabet, Aleph to Tau, and so it demonstrates or it communicates a fullness, a completion, or a perfection of thought. Chapter 3 of Lamentations just adds greater emphasis to its content by multiplying the acrostic 3 times. Acrostics are also intended to aid the memory, to make it easy to keep the content in mind, to help a person recall what the acrostic is all about. You all know the alphabet, so you know you can figure out how the chapter is going, how the content of the poem is to go. And it's intended to help people remember what the poem is teaching. So the prophet Jeremiah penned the words of this dirge by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit at the time of God's judgment against the wickedness and faithlessness of Judah. And I would say, if you have some time this afternoon, read through the book of Lamentations, and you will be horrified not only at the despair of the prophet, but at the sinfulness of the people of Judah and the awful judgments of God that he is bringing against them because of their sin, and bringing it against his city. And Jeremiah is living through it all. And with all of that, right in the very middle of the whole poem, he gives us these verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. In spite of all of the distress and the destruction that would be going on around him, there is still hope, because God is faithful to a number of things, and we'll talk about that in just a second. We are living today in some dark times, aren't we? Politically, who could have ever thought that in Syria the long time reign of Assad should come to a speedy end. 8 days, the rebels came against him, the president of Syria. 8 days, they took the capital city of Damascus. Assad fled for his life. That 8 days is quick, especially since they've had that civil war going on since 2012. Things changed really rapidly in the world around us. They are some dark times politically. We know that probably half of the states are all upset that Donald Trump is going to be the new president again. Other leaders in other nations around the world are scrambling to do whatever they think they need to do against him coming into the presidency. He's talked about making Canada the 51st state. He talked about buying Greenland and Panama and changing the name of the Gulf of Mexico to the Gulf of America. I don't know if those are real intentions or whether he's just throwing stuff out to get people all cranked up. Certainly has cranked up the politicians in our country with all of that. We'll have to wait and see how it all works out. So dark times politically, nationally, wars and rumors of wars. There's increased anti-Semitism around the world. It has increased exponentially, where almost anywhere in the world where Jews may be living, they are in fear of their lives. There's corruption all around us, immorality, the agenda of the LGBTQ alphabet people is far spread all around the world. The whole issue of gender transitions and so on. Who would have thought, even 10 years ago, that we'd be dealing with stuff like that in our country? And there is a metaphorical shaking of the fist in the face of God from all mankind in the world today. I saw, I watched a video by Ray Comfort. I don't know if you know that name. He has a ministry called Living Waters. And he does a lot of street evangelism, talking to people. One of his tactics is to get people to admit that they are sinners. He would say to them, "Have you ever lied?" "Oh, yeah, we've lied." "Have you ever had impure thoughts?" You know, Jesus said, if you have... you lust after a woman in your mind, then you've committed adultery with her. "Well, yeah, okay." "Have you stolen anything?" "Yeah." And so he'll come back and say, "So what you're telling me is you confess that you are a lying, adulterous, stealer, thief, and do you think that you should get to heaven?" "Well, I guess not." And then he would share the gospel and get people that way. It's a very interesting way of his evangelism on the street. So he put a video up just recently. He entitled it, "Hollywood Mocks God, Then This Happens." And I just want to play a few seconds of this for you.
Welcome to the 82nd Golden Globes. You were incredible in Dune. Oh, woke up for all of your scenes. You were
what a year you've had.
Glenn.
Couch shots and you'll go.
That was before the.
Moms are holding strong with 3 shout outs. God, creator of the universe, 0 mentions.
Mocking God and using his name as a cuss word is nothing new for Hollywood. But less than 48 hours after the Golden Globes' blasphemy, Hollywood was on fire.
Tonight, a new fire breaking out late this evening in the Hollywood Hills. Who would have ever thought this? Los Angeles is on fire.
I talked to a fireman once. He was telling me, he goes, "Dude, one day," he goes, "it's just going to be the right wind, and fire's going to start in the right place, and it's going to burn through LA all the way to the ocean, and there's not a thing we can do about it."
The scene, horrific.
This is new aerial video of a 6th fire, the Sunset Fire, based in the Hollywood Hills.
Firefighters there doing everything they can, but there simply aren't enough of them to fight the horror that has exploded.
Right now, people are rushing to escape the Hollywood Hills.
Brand new fire exploded down the Hollywood Hills, making a beeline for the iconic heart of the entertainment industry.
It is like driving through hell itself down here. Literally through hell.
Tens of thousands of people have fled for their lives.
It may look like hell, but it's not literally hell. Hell is going to be a whole lot worse. And I thought very interesting how he puts that together with the mocking of God at the Golden Globes, and then a few days later, the forest fires destroying a lot of the homes of those people who were at that place. God is not mocked, the scripture says. Whatsoever a man sows, that will he also reap. God is not mocked. He will respond. And you've probably been watching the news reports of the fires down in Hollywood, I believe is the hand of God in judgment against the mockery of that place. And we know that out of Hollywood, there's really no love for God. I don't know what that whole chart was, God getting zero mentions. I don't know the context of that. I didn't watch the Golden Globes, so I don't know. But just in fact of the laughter there at that place is certainly a cause for, I think, understanding that God would respond to that. Did you watch the funeral service for Jimmy Carter? Longtime president. Ben Shapiro says he was the worst president that the United States ever had. And he was the worst ex-president that the United States ever had as well. And people claim that he is a Christian. Some don't think so. So at the funeral, which was held at the chapel in, I think it was in Washington, D.C., somewhere along in the service, I didn't watch it, but somewhere in the midst of that service, Garth Brooks, do you know the name Garth Brooks at all? He's a country western singer. Hasn't been around too much lately, but at one time he was very well known and popular. He sang a song, played his guitar, and sang the song that John Lennon wrote called Imagine. Do you know the lyrics to Imagine? Let me read them for you. As soon as I dig it out here. He wrote, "Imagine there's no heaven." Remember, this is being sung in a church at the funeral of Jimmy Carter. "Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. No hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. Imagine there's no countries. It isn't hard to do. Nothing to kill or die for, and no religion, too. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. Imagine no possessions, I wonder if you can. No need for greed or hunger, a brotherhood of man. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will live as one." That is the most anti-Christian blasphemous song that ever could have come out. One internet blogger said that this song is going to be the theme song for the Antichrist when he comes to rule and reign, and I can almost imagine it. So our world is in a dark and perilous place, but God knows what's going on, and he will take care of things. Jeremiah lived in dark, perilous times as well. But in the midst of the horror and the affliction, Jeremiah reminds himself and us through his book that in our afflictions and distresses, God's mercies and compassions do not fail. They are new every morning. And then he says, great is thy faithfulness. That is one of the attributes of Almighty God, our Creator, our God, our Savior, that he is always faithful. And therefore, Jeremiah says, I can hope in him. That's in verse 22 to 24. So, as we face the days in which we live, we also can remind ourselves that God is faithful to us, to a number of things, and that we can have our hope in him. And that what he has told us in his word is what he is going to do. And we know that, as one song used to say, in the end, we win. Because God will overthrow all of the works of evil and wickedness. Look back at verse 18 for a second, where Jeremiah says, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance and is humbled in me. So, did you notice that Jeremiah states that his strength and his hope are perished? He remembers his affliction and misery. He states that his soul had all of these disastrous things in remembrance. And what did it accomplish in his life? Was it anger? Was it, again, shaking the fist in the face of God? Was it turning away more from the Lord? What did it accomplish in his life? He says, he was humbled. He was humbled. That is the response of one who truly believes and whose hope is in the Lord God Almighty. Humbleness. He recognizes that all the destruction and the turmoil that they were facing back in his day was from the hand of God because of their own sinfulness. And so he's humbled before God. He states all of these things and recalls these things to his mind, and therefore, he says, he has hope. I think that humility in the presence of Almighty God, no matter what the circumstances may be, ought to be the place for us as believers in Christ to occupy. And it is from that place that we can have hope for the future, hope in God, hope for eternity. And so may I submit to you this morning for your consideration that trials and affliction should lead us as believers to humble ourselves before God and to have hope in him. Lamentations 24 to 26 says, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And that would be Jeremiah's testimony during these difficult days. Yes, the world is a place of disaster in these days, but we have hope in the Lord and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, we can have peace and quiet in our soul, no matter what may be going on in the world around us. And God is not just faithful. His faithfulness is great. It's great is thy faithfulness, Jeremiah says. And that goes beyond just simply being faithful. This is something that's magnified, something that is expressed and exemplified before our hearts and before our minds. The word faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness, the word faithfulness only occurs 19 times in our Bible, in our King James Bible. All of them are in the Old Testament, and all of them only occur in 5 of the Old Testament books. Psalms has 14 occurrences of the word faithfulness. That seemed to be a real theme for the Psalms, talking about the faithfulness of God. Here's a few of them that should help to remind us about the fact that the Bible is replete with references and telling us that God is a faithful God. Psalm 36, verse 5, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." Higher than what we can reach. That's how great God's faithfulness is. Psalm 89, verse 1 says, "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations." That verse has been put to song. Do you remember it? "I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing. I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness, thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord." Good song, good tune, and wonderful verses from Psalm 89, verse 1. Psalm 92, I'm not going to sing all the rest of them. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night." And then in Isaiah 25, verse 1, Isaiah wrote this, "O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth." A few years ago, we put Isaiah 25, verse 1 to music. I'm not going to sing it for you, but we've sung it a few times back in the day. I'll have to resurrect that, and we'll teach you over Isaiah 25, 1. And then from the law, from the Pentateuch, Deuteronomy 7, verses 9 through 10, we read this, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face." In the New Testament, what did I do here? The word faith, this is the word faithful. Some references on the word faithful. Faithful occurs 82 times in our Bible. And here's a few New Testament references. 1 Corinthians 1, 9, "God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord." And 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13, you probably all have memorized at some point along the way. "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, and will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." God's faithful to give us a way of escape when temptation comes along in our very lives. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22 and 24, "The very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Right? He will do it. 2 Thessalonians 3, 3, "But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil." 2 Timothy 2:13, "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself." Just a couple more. 1 Peter 4:19, Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. Right? 1 John 1:9, again, something you probably already have memorized. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then in Revelation 19, verse 11, this is the record of John when he sees the vision of the Lord Jesus coming back in power and glory to this earth to destroy the Antichrist and the false prophet, to chain Satan in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. We read this, Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. That is our Savior, who one day will return to this earth in faithfulness and truth and establish his judgment and his kingdom over all of the earth. And as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to kind of bear the family resemblance, don't we? And so because God is faithful, in 1 Corinthians 4 verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards, that is us as servants of God, that a man be found faithful. And so we take our hint from God, who has great faithfulness, to apply that to our lives and to establish in our own lives and thinking that we too need to be faithful unto him. So throughout the scriptures, we find that God is faithful. He is faithful to his promises. He will not let any of them fail. He is faithful to his word in whatever it is that he reveals and says to us in the scriptures. He is faithful to his plans and purposes for his creation. One day, after sin entered into this world, he said that one day it would all be renewed. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem is coming yet in the future. And he is faithful to his plans and his purposes for his creation. He is faithful to his children. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the family of God and a child of God. And he is faithful to all of the things that he has given to us as his children. He is faithful to keep us, protect us, preserve us, chastise us when that becomes necessary. That's Hebrews chapter 13. He is faithful by his Holy Spirit that is in within us. He's faithful to help us to be holy before him. He will one day bring us home to be with our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Christ said that when he would go, that he would come again and receive us unto himself, that where he is, we might be also. God's faithfulness is indeed great. We can rely on it, we can trust him, and we can rest in him always. No matter what goes on in the world around us, we can find our peace and our hope in him. So I pray, and I hope, that you find God's faithfulness to you to be something to rejoice in and to praise and thank him for. It is great, and I hope you find that his faithfulness to you is great as well. There's nothing to compare to it. Nothing that the world has to offer can compare to the great faithfulness of God. So in this new year of 2025, let's make it our theme for this year, to thank and to praise the Lord for his faithfulness and to rest our hope in him. Once again, Lamentations 3, verse 26 says, it is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. What we see going on around us is not the end. There is still an end to come, and God is going to be the one to bring it to pass. So we're looking at a theme for 2025 of Great is thy faithfulness. Therefore, I will hope in him. From Lamentations 3:23 and 24. And I look for it to appear on the cover of our bulletins for this year once I get that to Linda to put it in there. But I'm trusting that 2025 will be that kind of a year for us. We will acknowledge the greatness of the faithfulness of God and that we will put our hope in him all through the year, every day, all the time. And may we find in our own lives that God indeed is faithful to us. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truths that you reveal to us in it, and that great truth that you are faithful and that your faithfulness is great. And as Jeremiah has said, therefore will I hope in thee. And for us, Lord, here in 2025, Berean Baptist Church, I trust that this might be a good theme to focus on for us throughout the course of this year. We want to acknowledge in every way we can your wonderful faithfulness, and that because of your faithfulness, we will place our hope and trust in you always for everything, no matter what. Thank you for our time in your word this morning. I trust the verses that we've looked at, and we've looked at quite a few, you might bring them to mind once again, and that you would bless each one here today with that truth of your faithfulness, and that we would be committed to putting our faith, hope, and trust in thyself. Thank you for our time this morning. Thank you for your word planted deeply into our hearts and minds. Help us to carefully think on those things you have given to us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.